Do achy, stiff joints slow you down? Would you like to put some of the cushion back in your joints and cartilage? Would you like to clinically reduce everyday joint aches and pains? Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and if you answered yes, then good news. Our friends at Purity Products want to send you a bottle of their legendary Ultimate HA joint formula for just $9. Ultimate HA features the joint-boosting benefits of hyaluronic acid. HA works like a shock absorber, helping you to cushion and soothe your joints. Plus, this HA also hydrates your skin, and people say they look better too. Just a few capsules a day, and you deliver powerful support for your joints, cartilage, skin, and connective tissue. So call 1-800-983-1154 and get a full-size bottle of HA7 for only $9, and you also get free shipping. Call now to claim your $9 trial bottle of HA7 with free shipping. 1-800-983-1154. These move fast, so call now. 1-800-983-1154. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Part one, really fascinating because we took a look at the endocannabinoid system and how hemp phytocannabinoids, which include CBD, but lots more, can impact your health. Our guest is Carl Germano, the author of The Road to Ananda. And it's a great book. It's got some great diagrams and illustrations. It really lays out how these compounds work in a very understandable way. I mean, and it's a difficult balance, Carl, because you've done a beautiful job, because this is complex biochemistry and physiology, but you're a great teacher and you've illustrated it beautifully in this book. It's for sophisticated lay people, but that's our audience here on Intelligent Medicine. That's why we call it Intelligent Medicine. And Carl, the book is available now. Tell us.
It's available right now on the website. The publisher has the website, www.roadtoananda.com. Roadtoananda, one word, .com.
Okay, roadtoananda.com. And presumably, eventually, it'll be released through all the regular channels. It's just out. So go to that website if you want to get a copy right now. And so, Carl, you know, commonly, you're in nutritional practice. You know that two big issues for our patients, you know, almost universal these days. And, you know, especially we practice in the New York metropolitan area, anxiety. And, of course, the flip side of anxiety, insomnia, sleep problems. What role for phytocannabinoids there?
Well, you've hit probably the most important and top areas. I mean, when we look at the application of phytocannabinoids, pain, inflammation, stress, anxiety, depression, insomnia, and then you've got eye health, bone health, and then neurological and inflammatory conditions.
Bone health, so, that's one that, you know, I haven't heard of. So we'll do that. We'll talk about that momentarily. But, you know, what does it do for sleep? I mean, is it a knockout pill? Is it going to be, you know, the house is on fire, the smoke alarm is going off, and you're going to just lay there comatose?
Right. Well, we know that studies show that sleep disorders are related to a dysfunctional endocannabinoid system. And basically, CBD has become very popular, not because it's a sedative, because it helps to control the circadian rhythm and the sleep cycles of the human body. And so, you know, CBD and full spectrum, you know, cannabinoid hemp oils can be taken with melatonin or L-theanine or valerian, 5-HTP or GABA, what have you, as accessory nutrients, because it will not provide a sedative effect. What it does is help establish a better sleep cycle and circadian rhythm for the individual. And so that's why it's become very popular as an adjunct. And by the way, it doesn't help the fact that CBD and other cannabinoids found in hemp also affect the neurotransmitters involved in memory as well as stress and anxiety, because we know very often that poor sleeping is due to a number of factors, of which I cannot ignore elevated cortisol from stress throughout the day.
Pain, obviously.
Pain, inflammatory conditions, what have you. So now you've got the endocannabinoid system that is intertwined with all of the inflammatory and pain pathways. You got the endocannabinoid system intertwined with the HPA axis, which involves the stress response in the human body. And so other than just involved in circadian rhythms and sleep cycle. It's helping to lower the anxiety and stress-related issues that interfere with sleep as well.
You know, and I've been taking CBD at bedtime. It's a mixed CBD with other entourage nutrients. We can talk a little bit about that concept. But my sleep is really profound and very refreshing. I don't wake up hungover. People are concerned, though, you know, there's this aura of it's cannabis. Okay. I mean, hemp is cannabis. Yeah. Marijuana is cannabis. Can you get stoned from this? Will it cause you to, you know, raid the refrigerator and, you know, defrost a frozen pizza at, you know, 2 a.m?
Not to say anything's wrong with that. But the point of the matter,
yeah, you know, I've had dinner with you, and I know you're a good eater. Yeah, usually it's more on the Japanese food side that you tend to indulge. So,
when we look at cannabinoids, you know, the intoxicating one has been THC, which is what we primarily cultivate marijuana for. It's THC content. But when you talk about hemp, which true industrial hemp, not these marijuana hybrids that may be in the marketplace, which is going to have an issue in the future, but true industrial hemp does not have enough of any intoxicating compounds to get you stoned, high, euphoric, intoxicated, or any way, shape, or form. But these other 99-plus other non-intoxicating phytocannabinoids have tremendous, tremendous medicinal value. So taking full-spectrum industrial hemp oil rich in CBD will not get you stoned.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Actually, I have read, and maybe correct me if I'm wrong, because I know you're really steeped in the literature, is that contrary to THC, CBD may have somewhat of an appetite suppressing effect. And I've actually heard that from some of my patients, is that they feel that their sweet cravings are somewhat curbed when they take CBD, which would be great.
Absolutely. You have to understand that, especially for the people who do indulge in recreational marijuana, the anxiety that gets produced from high THC levels, well, take a nice dose of CBD and that will go away. The reason being, CBD interferes with THC binding, and therefore will kind of reduce the anxiety or the high, so to speak. And you have to understand that THC is activating appetite, whereas CBD, which will interfere with THC binding, is going to have somewhat of an opposite effect. So we may see in the future endocannabinoid diets to help maintain weight.
Okay. Well, you know, let's jump ahead to a realm that I didn't really associate very much with CBD, and that's bone health. That's exciting. What's up with that?
We all have to understand that calcium, magnesium, menaquinone 7, vitamin D, and several of the other accessory nutrients from boron on down all have important roles in keeping your bones healthy, strong, from a structural point of view. But as you and I know, when we're dealing with postmenopausal women, it's not just that we provide these structurally important components to keep bones healthy, but that we have to deal with the cells that build up bone and the cells that break down bone from the day you're born to the day you die. And I'm talking about osteoclasts that break down bone.
Yeah, and you're an expert in this, obviously, having written a book about that. I was back in the late 80s, early 90s. You rolled out a new nutrient, Ipraflavone, which we still use today. You were like the initial proponent of Ipraflavone.
Yeah, and so the osteoblasts that build up bone, this is why estrogen therapy has been recommended with standard medical therapy, but we all know that estrogen, while it will influence osteoclasts by reducing their number and increasing osteoblasts, the cells that build up bone, we know that the side effects associated with estrogen therapy are significant. So what does this have to do with the endocannabinoid system? Well, in several interesting papers, we have found that the endocannabinoid system literally controls osteoclasts and osteoblasts. And what we are seeing right now is that if you activate the CB1 receptors. It kind of talks to the brain to say, hey, stop pushing out compounds that can break down bone, like norepinephrine. Mm-hmm. Versus when we stimulate the CB2 receptors, it actually has an effect on lowering the cells that break down bone, osteoclasts, mm-hmm. and building up the cells that build up bone, osteoblasts. And so if we are going to contend with osteoporosis, osteopenia, any low bone density issues, mm-hmm. well, we're going to deal with supporting it with phytocannabinoids. And this was reported in the Journal of Neuroendocrinology in 2008, titled Endocannabinoids and the Regulation of Bone Metabolism. So the data is out there. Mm-hmm. And that's why I started with this from the very beginning of our discussion, that we're going to have to contend with the ECS in almost every single protocol addressing every single disease.
Okay, so if you want to preserve your bones, don't smoke pot because you might fall down and break something, but take CBD because you'll help yourself. Okay. When it comes to eye health, there are said to be some benefits of CBD, and you talk about that, but I got to run this by you because this has been bugging me. Headline here from the American Academy of Ophthalmology. I hope I'm not throwing you a curveball, but you're probably aware of this, that there are reports that CBD, it's thought that pot smokers have a lower incidence of marijuana. That's based on studying the Rastafarians who smoke pot ritually as part of a religious rite. They smoke a lot of pot down there. Ganja, they call it. They say that CBD is not helpful for glaucoma. So they say the latest research is not showing that it's beneficial. So
I think it's misrepresented. Certainly, if you talk about a single magic bullet, CBD, it's one thing. When you talk about the family of phytocannabinoids, is another. We know that the eye is nothing more than an extension of our nervous system, and so it's connected to your brain. And we know the brain is littered with CB1 and CB2 receptors that are doing a whole host of things. Mm-hmm. And when it talk about the eye as an extension of the brain, we know that there's a separate retinal endocannabinoid system that is involved in prevention of damage due to oxidative stress, inflammation, and excessive pressure, intraocular pressure, of mm-hmm. which the endocannabinoid system helps to control and maintain homeostasis within the eye. So just as though the endocannabinoid system maintains homeostasis throughout the whole body, it's doing this also at an organ level. And there are other studies that look at the fact that glaucoma, which is a neurodegenerative disease defined by elevations in intraocular pressure and loss of the cells in the retina, that the endocannabinoid system, when it's fully supported, is warding off all these factors
the
that
nerve
cause
damage. It's not so much the pressure, it's actually the nerve damage ultimately that we want to slow. So just looking at the metric of pressure, you may be missing some of the potential benefits. But, you know, I'll point this out, though. As I read down on this, it's an official pronouncement by the American Academy of Ophthalmology. They qualify it by saying, but some researchers are undeterred. One company, Nemus Bioscience, is working to develop a cannabinoid-based therapy for glaucoma. Okay, so they probably have some intellectual capital and monetary capital invested in coming up with some formulation that they can patent and then market as a treatment for glaucoma. So there's obviously two sides of that story. So you know,
right, and again, we have to go back to the fact that when they make a comment about CBD, remember, CBD doesn't attach to the CB1 and CB2 receptors. It does many important things in the body. But the most important thing is that when we talk about having the family present, there are other cannabinoids that are potent CB2 agonists, meaning that they attach to the CB2 receptor. And why I keep going back to this is because something like beta-caryophyllene, which if it's found in with CBD, it's a remarkable combination. It's a cannabinoid. It's one of the minor ones. And basically, there are CB2 receptors that are involved in protecting the eyes from very bright light exposure or overexpression of blue light, mm-hmm. Especially when all of us are on computers and cell
screens,
phones and what
yeah.
have you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and also to downregulate excitatory activity in the eye that's causing further damage. So you've got to support the entire endocannabinoid mm-hmm. system, and you've got to look for full spectrum materials, and especially those that do have added beta-caryophyllene in it. Mm-hmm. It's a remarkable combination.
You know, there's been a lot of talk about legalization of marijuana, and one of the concerns about that is the potential brain-addling effects of marijuana, that it's demotivating, that it may, and there's some studies that suggest that it may potentiate schizophrenia in kids, so they start smoking too early, and if they have the genetic susceptibility to schizophrenia, they may go over the edge. And I've actually seen this in some younger patients who come to see us. They've been smoking too much pot. But CBD turns out to be neuroprotective, and you have devoted a whole chapter to that, right? Against a variety of conditions, Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and MS and so on.
Yeah, I mean, this is a subject for a full hour program.
Sure.
In and of itself. You have to understand that there are significant levels of both CB1 and CB2 receptors in the brain, and we find them concentrated in areas of the brain that affect emotion, memory, learning, cognition, emesis, appetite. I mean, they're all over, because we know the ECS controls not only neurotransmission, but it protects the brain from excitatory glutamate to inflammation, to oxidative stress. And that's why in that patent that the government had in 2003, it was more about the neuroprotective effects of cannabinoids in the brain, mm-hmm. not only to prevent brain damage or further damage from stroke or trauma, but also useful in neurodegenerative diseases from Alzheimer's on down. And this has been followed up by numerous studies looking at the role of CBD to the role of supporting the endocannabinoid system in treating neurodegenerative diseases. And you have to look at the fact that when we look at all of these neurodegenerative conditions, there are some hallmarks that we contend with, and that is elevated inflammation, elevated oxidative stress, reduced antioxidant protection, all of which are controlled and regulated by the endocannabinoid system. So it's no wonder why CBD and other cannabinoids are incredibly important to keep your brain healthy, as well as its involvement in brain activity, which is not just memory, learning, cognition, appetite, sleep, we talked about, what have you, but also consciousness. There's some fascinating work on the role of the endocannabinoid system in controlling and being a major part of our consciousness. Why? Mm-hmm. Well, everything we perceive, our thoughts, our perceptions, everything we see in the outside world is all processed in the brain as part of our consciousness. And the endocannabinoid system is the primary physiological system that is involved in learning and memory and perception and thinking and thought and sleep and dreams and you would have you. So to me, this is one of the most fascinating areas, along with the gut-brain-immune connection that the mm-hmm. endocannabinoid system is involved in, that I'm so excited about.
Well, let's talk for a moment about GI maladies, because lots of patients suffer from irritable bowel syndrome. Then there are more serious conditions. Ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease is of a particular interest to me, because I see a lot of patients with those conditions. And many of them report that taking CBD has really helped to not only relieve their symptoms, but hasten their recovery because of its anti-inflammatory properties. So can we put it on the same pedestal with other anti-inflammatory nutrients like curcumin, for example, that we might deploy for these conditions?
I would put it at the top of the list.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, we have this brain-gut-immune connection, this tri-directional communication that's very much involved in maintaining health in the body. And we got to look at the intestinal tract, the gut, as more than an organ of digestion. It is the largest immune organ in the body, and rightfully so, since it has to recognize all the foreign stuff we dump down it every single day. But also, going deeper into the tissue, there are hundreds of millions of neurons, brain cells, it's our second brain, and why it has an intimate connection with the brain and the immune system, because it is an organ that has brain and immune cells. Well, we look a little bit deeper in an interesting paper in Gastroenterology of 2016, the role of the endocannabinoid system in the brain-gut axis. What have we learned? Well, certainly the endocannabinoid system controls gastrointestinal motility, and we know that's an issue in a lot of GI disorders. It controls intestinal inflammation. It is linked to the stress and abdominal pain pathways and reduces the activity of the infamous HPA pathway in throughout the body. We also look at papers in Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences in 2017 and Cannabinoid Research in 2016, how the endocannabinoid system acts as a regulator of immune homeostasis in the gut. Mm-hmm. And we now look at anandamide playing immunological roles in your gut. We look at the ECS controlling and actively assisting in the tolerance to foreign antigens and obviously in reducing inflammation. So mm-hmm. Crohn's disease, irritable bowel yep. syndrome, all the colitis, all the inflammatory conditions of the GI tract are going to respond remarkably well to phytocannabinoids, especially if you have beta-caryophyllene in the mix. And again, I keep going to beta-caryophyllene because it is a CB2 agonist, which controls inflammatory cycling and pain signaling and mm-hmm. complements CBD so well that it makes for a powerful 1-2 punch for all GI disorders.
And finally, cancer, and a lot of people say, well, you know, that's a bridge too far. You know, cancer is making the claim that there's an anti-cancer effect. But actually, you consulted one of the top experts in the field for a chapter in your book about the impact of CBD on cannabinoids, more broadly speaking, on cancer. So what's the story there?
Well, I can tell you that while certainly in all the things we've talked about, we are in our infancy and certainly a lot more work has got to be done and published, but I can also tell you that the in vitro and animal work that's going on in cancers will make the hair on the back of your head rise. Hmm. It is remarkable about how this family of cannabinoids has profound effects on decreasing cancer growth, decreasing cancer cell invasion, metastasis, increasing the premature death of cancer cells, what
we
call
apoptosis, yeah, right?
Yeah, and then decreasing the blood supply, angiogenesis to cancer mm-hmm. cells. It is remarkable. Now, with that said, with those studies that are also ongoing besides what's been published, we are working with a lot of oncology patients who, other than the fact that smoking cannabis can provide for anti-nausea effects and pain relief from treatment, we are getting remarkable responses from patients in terms of shrinkage of their tumors. And again, I'm not one for anecdotal stuff. I'm a data-driven guy, mm-hmm. but I can tell you that that's backed up with a lot of good preclinical data that's been published, and there are going to be ongoing trials in patients eventually that are going to show remarkable results. These cannabinoids are just unbelievable, and I have not seen anything as clinically relevant in our trade, any nutrient, herb, nutraceutical, that comes anywhere close to what phytocannabinoids can do in the human body.
So some pharmaceutical companies are actually developing really high concentrates of CBD purified, you know, without any other what they consider extraneous compounds. But you're a big advocate for mixed products that contain all the full spectrum of hemp-derived phytocannabinoids. So what should consumers look for in a product typically? It's not so much the CBD content on the label, but the quality of the mix, right?
Right. Well, yes, consumers are going to have to be a little bit diligent because we're in a sector that the government has not kind of responded as quickly as we would like. It's a little bit of the Wild Wild West out there.
Yep.
Get to know the companies that you're purchasing from. Get to respect the well-respected companies that have been out there doing the right thing. You're looking for full-spectrum industrial hemp, and you're going to ask the right questions to the companies that are reputable out there. And so all I would say is to go and purchase from the more well-known reputable companies that are in the trade, because there are a lot of fly-by-nights that are popping up all over.
There's a real gold rush. You know, with any phenomenon like this, there's going to be some Me Too companies that are rushing products into the marketplace that aren't fully vetted. So it's important to, you know, rely on a company with experience and that's done some of the research on this. So, Carl, again, you're fabulous. Book, you've really put together a lot of information there. It's information that's easily accessible, and it's a comprehensive look at the science behind phytocannabinoids. And the book, again, is available via, it's got its own website, roadtoananda.com, correct?
Yes.
Okay, great. Any other resources that people will find there, excerpts from the book or some basic information about you and research that went into it?
Yeah, they'll find a little bit about the author, myself, and then a little bit about Dr. Raphael Mashulam, and then, you know, how to purchase the book. And eventually we're going to have more information from an educational standpoint that will be that'll be uploaded. Again, the book was just printed literally last week.
Okay.
We're barely out of the gate, but it's got a remarkable response already. And we haven't even started yet. But so thank you so much for having me. This is an important subject that will dominate medicine and nutrition for decades to come. So to be continued.
As usual, you're on the cusp of a real important trend, because you usually find your way to whatever's really happening in the field of nutrition. Thanks very much, Carl, for joining us. That's Carl Germano, and the book is Road to Ananda. Website, roadtoananda.com. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. If you happen to be on a weight loss regimen, studies show that as fat cells shrink, they release stored toxins into the system that can actually poison metabolic pathways and slow your metabolism, causing your weight to plateau even in the face of stringent diet adherence. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Detox Protocol, a collection of carefully curated supplements to mobilize toxin elimination, easing the blahs that sometimes compromise your dietary resolve. The Intelligent Medicine Detox Protocol is an easy way to get the exact combination of the targeted nutrients you need. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com for more information and to purchase. Plus, you'll find easy-to-follow links to our heart health and immunity protocols and much more. And for a limited time, you'll get free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com.